Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We bring in Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Mike, good morning, sir. Welcome back from the Bayou. I hope you had safe travels. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks.
Excellent, excellent. Well, where to begin? There was a lot to discuss after Saturday's game. I'll get right to it because I know this has been the big topic. The quarterback situation with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. What are your thoughts and what did you take away from it after the game and hearing Kirby talk about it and that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, there was a lot to discuss before the game. I just don't think people were listening. I mean, Kirby Smart and Sam and David, you guys know this. You've been there every week with me at the press conferences. Kirby has identified every weakness that LSU was able to exploit. He's talked about it all year long. He said at the beginning of the week that the front seven, the front four in particular, needed to knuckle up. You know, he talked about being more consistent. He talked about working on the downfield passing game. He talked about turnovers and protecting the ball better. He talked about a concern with Dave Aranda and the things that he could do to confuse the offensive line and how they were going to have to protect Fromm. So it was everything that had been exposed. The run defense had struggled at Missouri, and you know, the message board warriors that told us we were all crazy because Georgia was winning. Who cares if Missouri had 160 yards rushing and four rushing touchdowns? Those were all red flags. Who cares if Tennessee sacked Jake Fromm three times? Listen, LSU got the game plan, and for the first time this season, Georgia faced a team that had frontline starters of equal athletic ability. And Kirby saw that going into the game. And that's why the fake field goal was in the game plan before the game even started. Kirby Smart felt like Georgia needed to be aggressive, and he wanted to land the first blow. Now, we saw LSU be aggressive on the fourth down, 4-for-4 on the fourth and shorts. Both teams went into this game looking for a winning edge. And you know, give LSU credit; they are they're the more experienced team. They were the home team, and quite frankly, they were the hungrier team. And these were all things that Kirby Smart talked about before the game. So when people say, "Wow, what's all this now?" It's like, folks, this has been happening all year. The red flags have been there. I've been writing about it. You guys have talked about it on the radio. We've talked about it on the show. But everybody was whistling by the graveyard saying, well, you know, as long as they keep winning, it's not really a problem. Well, it's a problem when you play a team good enough to exploit it.
So what I'm hearing is like, yes, the quarterback situation was what everyone was focused on, but you're saying, hey, there were other issues that were getting kind of swept under the rug even before the game started on Saturday.
Listen, Jake Fromm was I want to say 2 of 15 on 3rd and 9 or longer going into this game. Going into this game before, you know, Saturday's 1 of 5. And listen, at this stage of his career, Justin Fields isn't the answer once you fall behind. Okay? That's not where they went wrong with Justin Fields, in my opinion. In my opinion, they probably should have brought him in before the 5th series. If you want to be aggressive with a fake field goal, how about you be aggressive and bring Justin Fields in on the 2nd series for a play or let him have a series? It does change the Georgia offense. And you saw they went to Fields again on I think, the 2nd, 3rd and out in a row. They had 3 consecutive 3-and-out drives in the 2nd quarter where they just couldn't get it going. LSU made an adjustment. I just posted a story on this on DogNation.com. Dave Aranda made it a defensive front adjustment. Everybody kept saying, why didn't Georgia go back to the run? They tried. LSU made an adjustment. They took it away. What you saw on that 2nd drive where Georgia went 60 yards on 9 consecutive running plays before 2 incomplete passes and a bad fake field goal attempt, that wasn't there anymore. LSU said, you know what? Let's change up the personnel. Let's do something different that we haven't shown Jim Chaney or Kirby Smart all year on film, and they made an adjustment. And that's why Georgia couldn't go back to the run. In my opinion, guys, what I think is wrong, quote-unquote wrong, with Georgia is that their offense is too multifaceted. They can do so many different things, and that's great, but when push comes to shove, who and what are you? We don't know. There's a four-man rotation in the backfield. There's 10 different receivers being thrown to. There's two different quarterbacks under center. What the hell is this team? When you really need it, what are you? What do you do exceptionally well? What can you do in the dark? And I don't think we know that yet because Kirby's played so many different guys. They've done so many different things on offense. Whereas last year, the genius was in the simplicity. They only did so much because Jake was a freshman. He could only do so much. Oh, and guess what? He had two NFL running backs and a really good wide receiver in Wims that you could throw to downfield. I don't think Jake feels like he's got a go-to guy that he can throw deep to on a 50-50 ball because I haven't seen those passes thrown. And I don't think either one of these running backs measure up to Michelle or Chubb.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com joining us.
Getting back to the quarterbacks, Mike, I don't know if it's as simple as saying that at this point in his career, Justin Fields isn't going to bring you from behind because it's hard for Georgia fans to swallow that pill when Alabama did exactly that in the national championship game, going to a freshman, very highly touted quarterback. He came in and led Alabama to a come-from-behind victory over Georgia. Granted, that was further into the season. But still, in terms of talent, in terms of providing a spark, in terms of a guy that if Georgia's offensive line was struggling, at least Fields would provide some sort of ability to get away from that and scramble out. So it really just kind of seems like that Georgia maybe could have gone in that direction. Is it just as simple as saying that Georgia isn't as good as Alabama and that's why it worked for Alabama?
Well, no, I don't think that. I think it was, game 15 for Tua or game 14 for Tua, and they had, 3 weeks to prepare for Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, for two weeks. They were in the college football playoff. I do think it makes a difference how far into the season it was. And I also think that the way Georgia has used, Justin to this point, you're going to ask him to drop back and throw 20 passes in a game. And let's not forget something. I mean, it's easy to sit here right now and second guess, but let's just play the what-if game. Let's just say you put Justin Fields in there. Because then I'm going to go on the other hand, I'm going to go, what in the heck are you doing? That's Jake Fromm. You realize Jake Fromm brought you from 17 points down to beat Oklahoma in the college football playoff, right? You realize has everybody gotten amnesia and forgotten that Georgia trailed Oklahoma by 17 points in a college football playoff game in the Rose Bowl against a first-round NFL quarterback, and Jake Fromm brought them from behind? That's a proven commodity. He is a proven commodity. He has done it before. He went into that game 18-2 as a starter. Let's stop pretending that this guy isn't talented, okay? Now, Justin Fields, oh, man, he's exciting. Who knows? Maybe ultimately Justin Fields could be the next Cam Newton. Maybe he could be. But right now we don't know that yet. So if I'm Kirby Smart, I'm on the road in Death Valley. I've got Dave Aranda across from me, the highest paid coordinator, and he's doing all these things to my deep offensive line to confuse them. This is maybe the best offensive line in college football, and LSU's playing mind games with them on these different fronts. I can't quite figure out how to get the offense going. I know if I put Justin Fields in there, I know what I can do. I've run about four different plays with them all year. Let's be honest. They haven't done a whole lot with Justin Fields, right? So I'm going to put a guy in there that's only run four different plays, that's only thrown the ball how many times this year, guys? 14 maybe? I don't know. I don't have the stats in front of me.
He's 18 for 25, I think.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
For 25.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take out a guy that I can run 40 pages in the playbook with that's done it, that's been there and done it in a hostile road environment. I mean, come on. That's a bad gamble. That's grasping at straws. Now, you've got a week off. If you're Kirby Smart, maybe you go back to work and you go, you know what, Jim? I just don't think Jake Fromm's going to be our guy anymore. Let's change our offense right now before the Florida. I mean, you got what you got. Justin's going to get better. He brings a spark. He does things that work really well. But trailing 16-0 at halftime, you want to throw a true freshman in that's thrown 25 career passes and pull out a guy that's 18-2 and came from 17 down in the Rose Bowl. You're telling me that's a good strategy?
But to be fair about the Rose Bowl, Georgia wasn't trailing due to Jake Fromm. There were some defensive breakdowns and things like that, and Oklahoma really jumped on Georgia, whereas in this game, Georgia was down a lot due to the fact that Jake Fromm was having a horrible game and Georgia couldn't get any rhythm going on offense because he was overthrowing guys and because he wasn't being accurate. So in this game, it seems like the only difference is this was partly, or even some would say mostly, Fromm's fault.
I would say those people that say that need to go back and watch the tape, because I did see Jake overthrow Mecole Hardman on the fly route on the left side, but I also saw DeAndre Swift drop a pass. And I also saw Mecole Hardman drop a pass 20 yards downfield on a really well-thrown ball by Jake. I also saw breakdowns in the protection. I also saw a defense that couldn't get off the field and allowed LSU to convert 4-4 on first down. Was that Jake Fromm's fault that the defense couldn't stop LSU on a 4th-and-1 on 4 different occasions or a 3rd-and-1? Was that on Jake, too? Was it Jake Fromm that called for the fake field goal? I don't think so. I understand that the quarterback gets most of the credit and most of the blame. All I'm saying is, and it was not Jake Fromm's best game, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying, but there was a lot more to it than Jake not having his sharpest game. There were receivers that ran the wrong routes once again. Now, again, I'll go back to, you're saying, well, all right, well, then what is it? Well, what is it is Georgia needs to simplify. Georgia needs to figure out who they are. They need to reduce the playbook. They need to say, you know what? Instead of trying to do 26 different things, let's cut the alphabet in half. Let's figure out what we're really good at. Instead of just trying to be the chameleon that changes color every snap based on what the defense gives us, let's go into the game and say, you know what? This is who we are, and this is what we're going to do. We don't care how you're lined up. We're going to dictate to you. Now, some of that has been the youth. And quite frankly, I don't think these receivers have been real good against press coverage. I think they've struggled. I think that, for all the blocking that they do, they seem to have a real hard time with press coverage, and that's how Tennessee tripped them up. Tennessee tripped them up, that's right. The longest Georgia pass against Tennessee was for 23 yards, and the quarterback was sacked 3 times, right? That's because the Georgia receivers aren't getting open and Jake's having to hold the ball. You want to put that on Jake, too? I mean, it's just oversimplifying to say, put Justin Fields in and everything works. It's just not that simple, because you've got this thing called a 20-hour week in college football where these guys can't be – it's not like the NFL where you've got all week to work on it. Justin Fields is being brought along. He's a special quarterback. He gives Georgia a spark when he's in the game, but putting him in a game down 16-0 would have been second guess also. People would have said, you're crazy for pulling the veteran guy that's pulled it out of the fire. And, that's my take on it. I don't think a quarterback change. I think they could have used Justin more, inserted him earlier as a spark, made that the aggressive adjustment, right? But not changing quarterbacks when you're on the road down by more than one score, not at this stage of the season.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com joining us. Mike, switching to the defensive side of the ball for a moment, and Georgia, as you mentioned, and Florida does too. Both teams have an extra week to get ready for this game. And I know the defense was out on the field for 81 snaps, so they were out there for a long time. Do you feel like we might see something change a little bit? Maybe at the linebacker position, there were a lot of tackles made by defensive backs on Saturday leading the way, and I'm just kind of curious what you think about that.
I mean, it's like Kirby said, you got what you got. I mean, you got what you recruited. You know, if there's a place where Georgia has not recruited elite, it's on the defensive line. And we saw that. And oh, by the way, they're missing 2 guys. You know, Hawkins Muckle wasn't there. Devontae Wyatt wasn't there. David Marshall wasn't there. The one area where you really don't have quality depth, you're getting pushed right now. I mean, 3 guys, 3 of Georgia's defensive linemen were missing. There's not much more that Georgia can do defensively. We've said it from the start of the year that the front 7 was suspect. In fact, I didn't think it was a championship caliber front 7. I about got tarred and feathered, but that was what it looked like. I mean, you lost 5 of your starters from your front 7 last year. You know, here's the thing. Georgia is the youngest football team in the SEC, and they're talented, and they're well coached, and they're focused and they're motivated. Okay, this is a great football program, but you went down there and played a football team that had its backs to the wall with 100,000 people there that was ranked number 5 and had already beaten Miami and won at Auburn. Georgia hadn't been tested yet this year. Their biggest test was at Missouri. They won by 2 touchdowns. Nobody was even within a touchdown of them in the second half. So, you know, give this team a chance to grow. Give this team a chance, like Kirby Smart says, to swallow some adversity, to grow from some adversity. Same thing happened last year, didn't it? They lost at Auburn. So I understand people are frustrated, but this is the youngest team in the SEC. It was going to be tough for Georgia to repeat it as SEC champions anyway, and they still can, by the way. They still control their destiny. It's just, you know, Georgia got exposed. I mean, LSU did a really good job exposing Georgia's weaknesses, and now it's up to the Bulldogs coaches and players to try and respond to that, and we'll see if they're good enough. But guys, get it right here. This isn't about coaching. This isn't about focus. This isn't about energy, because Georgia has been dialed in all year. LSU was the better football team Saturday. Simple as that.
You're absolutely right. They certainly were. And, you know, another area that hasn't been talked about much and I think gets forgotten about, and I know you weren't here last year covering the team, but you certainly know all the personnel, is what a great job Cam Nisolek did as Georgia's punter. And I'm not trying to pick on Kamara. He's a freshman, but I know that's an area of Georgia's special teams that hasn't been as good as last year either, and it's starting to show up there a little bit as well. So, I mean, I know, like you said, there's things.
This is like you live in a beautiful house, and one day you see a bug. And now all of a sudden you go, holy cow, there's a bug. Hey, call the pet guy. We're going through every room. We're going to go through every closet, every nook, every cranny. We found a bug. There's a bug in the Georgia football program. There's always been bugs. We just didn't see them before. We didn't turn on the lights at 4 in the morning. They're out there crawling around. LSU turned the lights on. That's all that's happened here.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe there's, like you said, it's one of those things where, you know, it certainly hurts. The old adage about it's never as good as it seems, never as bad as it seems, and maybe that's what we're looking at right here.
I think it is. Georgia is a fringe top 10 program, and they're going to have to improve, as Kirby has said all year. I mean, I loved it when Kirby stood up there at the press conference. Some coaches, when they lose, let me just say this part. This is kind of a sidebar. I don't know if fans will appreciate it like media guys do, but I've covered so many different coaches, and you got to kind of learn to speak their language and know when they're BSing. Kirby doesn't BS. I mean, after the loss, he's pretty straight. He said, guys, you know, we didn't play like we needed to at Missouri. You know, I mean, he's basically standing up there saying, why is anybody surprised by this? I said this, and I said that. He saw it coming. He challenged his players. There's nothing more Kirby Smart could have done since last January. The practices he put these guys through, it was like they were special forces or something. You guys were there at practice. You saw those guys. I mean, it was 100 degrees out, and Georgia's going 2.5 hours and going ones-on-ones, and they're dragging in there, and you're going, my God, this is like Survivor. Who's going to make it through this camp? I mean, he has pushed these guys to get him as much competition against other starters, as many repetitions under duress as possible. The players have come out every week. We've done 30 interviews. Nobody's looked like they're not focused. Everybody's dialed in. Everybody's on the same page. There hasn't been any off-field issues in season. Nobody's been going out to Broad Street and running through the street at 1 in the morning. This program has been dialed in. There's nothing more these coaches can do other than let these young men grow and get better. It's the SEC, man. You're not in the ACC. This ain't Clemson. You don't got to play like one good team a year in your league and then the rest are like weaklings. This is the SEC. Every week you're playing somebody that's got 6 to 12 NFL players on the field against you. LSU ain't a pushover, man. That's a hell of a program.
Mike, before we let you go, does Georgia have a little bit of a concern in terms of, we see this a lot, and even like Dan Quinn with the Falcons, for example, when you kind of drill in a lot of cliches over and over again into your guys, that's great when you're winning, but when you're losing, or when you lose games, I think that can kind of start to get a little stale, and the whole, you know, keep chopping and all that stuff, and also the plan is there is no plan. Those kind of things pop great as sound bites, but then when you're losing or you lose games, they don't sound as good. So is there a little bit of a worry that because of the way that Kirby is kind of one of these coaches that goes out with these cliches a lot, that might start to get lost a little bit on the players?
No. I mean, all the coaches, you know, hey, Butch Jones had a lot of cliches, and when they were beating Georgia and you know, ranked in the top 10 2 years ago, those cliches were fine. Listen, if fans want to bash their program, if they want to get up and be mad, if they want to, take shots at their head coach, they can. There's plenty of stuff out there. There's a reason that they have those cliches and those sayings. It's so you can rely on them. I had them in the military. It helped me. Every time we did a jump, it helped me to go through those cliches and, you know, the knees in the breeze and, you know, all sorts. There's a reason you have them, okay? Every program has them. Now, if you would prefer that Kirby Smart and the players don't share those things with the fans, and don't try and educate their fans, don't try and let their fans know what's being said in the locker room and what their mantras are, they could close it down and not say anything. And I think I wouldn't have as much to write about, and fans probably wouldn't enjoy it as much. But every single program has those sayings, those mantras, those things that, you know, you speak Georgia, do you know the identity of the program, do you understand your head coach's philosophy? Everybody has it. So, you know, if fans want to use that against their own program and make fun of them or ridicule them or second-guess them, have at it. But for the fans that enjoy knowing about the Georgia program, that enjoy trying to understand Kirby's philosophy and know what the players are thinking, I think they should probably stand up and say, hey, shut up. These guys are trying. They went down there and they did the best they could. You know, it's fun to second guess, but to say that Georgia wasn't prepared or to, you know, question the philosophy of Kirby Smart, I think you'd be crazy. I think Kirby Smart and Georgia football is the best investment in college football right now. If you could give me one coach to invest in the next 5 years as far as where their stock's going to be and a program and where they're going to be in 5 years, I'll take Georgia over Alabama. Right now, over the next 5 years, from this point on, I'm taking Kirby over Alabama and Nick Saban stock. And so that's my perspective on it.
I know Georgia fans love to hear that. By the way, I didn't know you had a military background. When were you, or where, you said you were jumping?
Yeah, I was at Fort Bragg. I went to jump school down there in Columbus a long time ago, right out of high school, and it was a great opportunity for me. It was what paid for my college education. I got the GI Bill, and I was very fortunate to serve during the peacetime era, active duty for 3 years, and I still recommend it to people. I mean, that was a great experience in my life, really a great introduction to meeting a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds from all over the world. So that's what got me started as a journalist, was asking other soldiers questions back when I was just a cherry, as they call them back then.
That's awesome. Well, we do appreciate your service. And where are you from originally?
I was born in Mobile, Alabama, grew up in Michigan, and went to Michigan State. Been in the South since 1993. Took a four-year hiatus and went back up to Michigan and covered the Spartans for 4 years. Three of them were their top 10 seasons there. They were in the top 7 3 straight years when I was there. I guess I went back there at the right time. But mostly Alabama in the 90s, covering Alabama and Auburn. Went to Tennessee in 98. Pretty good year to go there.
Yeah.
And covered the Vols. So I've seen a lot of SEC football.
Yeah.
23 years worth of SEC football.
That was a big win for Sparty on Saturday also.
I still can't believe it. There's no way. They had no business beating Penn State. They talk about personnel issue. You want to look at a program that's challenged. I mean, holy cow. I mean, that's why I look at Georgia and I go, man, people think they've got it rough. Mark D'Antonio is a really good football coach, but you put Michigan State on the field with Georgia, and Georgia's beat them by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's one of the big games this weekend coming up, the Michigan State game. So that ought to be.
Yeah, well, you know, D'Antonio is like 8-2 against Michigan.
Yeah.
And I know it's kind of similar. I know Georgia fans, and now that I've covered the team, I mean, I watch ESPN and I kind of go, man, I mean, I know Alabama's, you know, a little better than Georgia, but I mean, the coverage is just like, hello, there's a really good team over here in Georgia, you know. But up there, it's the same way. It's like Michigan State's beaten Michigan 8 out of the last 10 years, and, you know, USA Today's writing, Harbaugh owns college football. It's like yeah. he hasn't even finished higher than third in the East Division.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's some of that's part of college football. That's part of the mountain to climb, and that's one of Georgia's challenges. And I think Kirby's savvy to that. He's doing what he can do in his own ways. But the bottom line is, you got to win those games to get you respect. And you know, now we're going to hear about all the SEC West. You know, now that LSU knocked off Georgia. You know, so ultimately, you know, Georgia's got to take care of business on the field. And you know, once they start beating Alabama with regularity, I'd say the title turn.
Hey, Mike, thanks again. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next Monday.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.